them being a part of our missionary family, getting to know them at some point. Why don't you take your Bibles quickly and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you allow me one more time, just to kind of as we come to a capstone for missions this month. And of course, missions is something that's supposed to be a daily part of our lives. And we have many missionaries that will be coming in to our church throughout the year. Several families, and have two families with us next week. But when I think about the missions month and the missions conference and things like that, you know, every year I pray and I ask the Lord to increase our church for missions. I pray that throughout the year. And by that, I am not just praying for a financial increase so that we can support more missionaries. That's one part of it. So I just kind of want to give you a window. And when I pray that we would be increased in missions, what that includes, how we're increasing in missions. It's, again, giving, thank the Lord for that, and I thank the Lord for the great increase we've had this year, but it's not just an increase in our giving, it is an increase in our going and in the work of the gospel, which far exceeds a financial give. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 and 7, I'm going to allow you to remain seated as I read these two verses. Paul says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I've laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Father, one more time we ask your blessing, your spirit, your power on the message tonight, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I understand many of you are here when we go on Wednesday nights. We've been going through the book of 1 Corinthians, and we understand what's taking place here. The church at Corinth had gotten into a tizzy over themselves over who was the great leader of the church. And all that aside, Paul quickly acknowledges that God has used different servants, and they are laborers together in God's husbandry, in God's building, the body of Christ, and the increase is God. The laborer is nothing. It is the work of God, and God gives his increase. And I just want to, and Paul, that the church at Corinth was a tremendous church and a church that was a novice church. And you know, Paul was there longer than any place he'd been except Ephesus, but a year and a half is not. Where were you a year and a half after you got saved? Okay, you had grown, but there was still room to grow, is there not? It doesn't matter how long you've been saved, there's room to grow. This was not a mature church. It was a maturing church. And they had hit a tremendous spiritual maturity within a matter of months based on the things that Paul dealt with in this epistle. But when I think about increasing our missions and the increase that God wants to do in our church, just as he did in Corinth and other churches historically, and even to this day and over the last 2,000 years, when I pray for God to increase us for missions, again, there are certain components that I'm asking. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 17 quickly. Luke chapter 17. I could read these verses, but I want you to get the context here. In Luke chapter 17, let me tell you, one of the things that when I'm asking God to increase, again, I'm not just considering our financial giving. It's so much more. And if there's one thing that I think that everything is built upon the foundation, it's the increase of our faith. The increase of our faith. Because let me tell you something. If you're not strong in the Lord and the power of his might, it doesn't matter how much you give. You won't be giving 6 months from now. You won't even be here and you won't be going. Because faith is the strength of the Christian life. And in Luke chapter 17, verse number 1, then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. You know what, church? Somebody's going to offend you. Someone, something, there's going to be an offense that comes into your life. But woe unto him through whom they come. Woe unto the man that brings the offense. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea that he should offend one of these little ones. Now, if we were to go to Mark chapter 9, This is a companion parallel passage, Mark chapter 9. They had brought the little children to Jesus at this time, and the disciples were holding them back, and Jesus said, "Suffer them to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven." He laid his hands on them, and he blessed them, and he said, there were people that have given the opportunity. He said, they would offend these children so that and keep them from coming to salvation. And woe unto that man. It's better if you took a millstone and put it on their neck and drowned them in the sea. What a way to go. But that's better than to be the one that would keep a child from coming to Christ. And let me tell you something. Satan's coming for our children. He always has and he always will. By the way, parents, you need to be careful. Satan is coming for your children. And he is coming through the television. He's coming through the internet. He is coming through public education. He is coming by any means that he can. He is coming for your children. All he has to do is capture their heart and set their heart on something other than Jesus Christ. And it's impossible, but someone's coming after, and you are the vanguard. You are the keeper of the gates of your home, of your children's heart. You are responsible and accountable for what comes to them. But you know what? It's not just the children. He's coming for you too. He's coming for the adults. He's not just coming after novice Christians, I promise you. He's coming after seasoned Christian, mature Christians. We are living in a day where we're seeing people that have been faithful for years and years and years that have been offended and given over to sin or just given up. And there is a word in faithful, it's faith. He said, verse 3, take heed to yourselves. As much as I would love to make decisions for other people, there are people, if I could, every week of my life, I'd make decisions for them. I can't. But we have to do our best to watch out for each other and help each other, but you better take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him, and if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, Lord, increase our faith. Lord, help us to have the strength to forgive those who offend us and who offend our children so that we will not be offended, so that we will not be deterred and be a castaway and be one of those that are a part of that departing from the faith. Not losing, not a loss of our saving faith, but no longer living by faith. When I pray for God to increase us for missions, one of the things that I pray almost every day of my life is for the Lord, for our church, that he would increase our faith. We just had, I called this afternoon, and Beam and Charity Gamere were just here last week in the missions conference, and Beam does not share very much publicly about his childhood and his testimony. I called him this afternoon and I said, Beam, I said, before I said anything, I said, I want you to know, I want you to be honest and be able to say no and feel that that's okay. If you want to say no to this, please say no. And it's not a problem, but I said, could I share part of your story? Because he doesn't tell his part. For one thing, he's not looking for people to pity him. And if you've been around Beam this week, the guy's nothing but teeth. He's just a big smile. I mean, if you're around him for 15 minutes, I mean, the kid, I mean, he's just nothing but a smile and joy and abounding. But if you knew where he came from, most people today wouldn't have any smile, any joy at all. I told him there are certain things that I won't say, but there are some things that he has given me liberty to say. And I think that if I could point to a living example of someone who has been strong in faith, I think that I could say that Beam Gamere, he has had the faith to not be offended. He was born to a father. There is still a caste system in Nepal. Now, people around here think that there's a caste system and social injustice. We got no stinking clue in this country. I'm talking a legitimate caste system. His last name, his father, is actually of the very highest caste in all of Nepal. His father is a priest, was in the military when he was born. But Beam's mother is the fourth wife and is of the second lowest caste in all of Nepal. So a man with four wives and the fourth wife of one of the lower castes and not of the upper caste. And Beam had an older brother and a younger brother. And when he was growing up, the other wives and the other children were very abusive of him. In fact, to the point where his older brother literally beat him to death. I'm not talking about beat him up. I mean beat his brother to death. He had an uncle that came from the city about this time, and his mother had come to the point where she was going to flee the marriage for her life. But to give time, she asked her brother to take her two sons and to take them to the city, to the main city, and to care for them. The brother had asked his sister, what can I do? And he was not expecting to take children back with him, but that's what he wound up doing. And then when he returned to the city, there were some things that happened. And he lost Beam and his brother. Beam was 3.5 years old when he was lost. And his uncle was arrested for some offense, and he was put into a state orphanage. And again, orphanage there. It wasn't an orphanage that was run because somebody had compassion towards children. It was a way that a man received money from the government. There were people that but there at that orphanage, nearly 200 boys. And he said, when you went to sleep at night, you went to sleep to the sound of 200 boys crying themselves to sleep. They would be beaten mercilessly for things you would never consider spanking your children for. They weren't spanked; they were beaten. They were not fed. They would go days without eating. There were times when he said, you and I, we're never going to be able to understand this because we've never had to experience this. But I'm hoping that we can get some compassion, some love with some sorrow in it, like we talked about this morning, that they would literally satisfy their hunger watching dogs and cats eat scraps and trash in the street outside the gate. That vicariously, they would watch the street animals eating and try to satisfy their hunger by watching someone else and pretending that that was them and what they would do if they could eat. By the time he was 7 years of age, they had literally beaten him out of that orphanage, and he raised from 7 years of age, a seven-year-old boy raised himself on the streets until he came to a missionary and received Christ as a Savior. And you know, that young man, when he goes back to the country of Nepal and he married a U.S. citizen, he could get a U.S. passport now, what people in third world countries in the 1040 window all the world over long for, and he refuses it. And he has had to invest financially large money to retain his Nepali passport so that he can go back to his people, where it's not going to be like you and I as an American missionary. We come with a religion that they look at as ours. But now he will, it's not that he's no longer religious or a Christian convert. He is a traitor to a religion that is a part of their culture and their country, and he is a traitor, and they are going to hate him more now than they did before. And he can't wait to go back because he's not been offended. You know, that's the kind of faith we need. You know, there's an old saying, the measure of your character is what it takes to stop you. He is a living example of Psalm 119, 165, where it says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I wish I could tell you more. There's much more. But he cannot wait to return and care for orphans and plant churches in a country that considers him a traitor to himself. See, when I pray for the Lord to increase us for missions, I'm praying for the Lord to increase our faith. I'm praying for him to increase our prayers. You know, that the Lord, in Luke chapter 11, it says that in verse 1, it came to pass as Jesus was praying in a certain place when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Jesus himself was praying, and one of the disciples, most likely one of the 12, saw him praying and heard him praying and realized that the prayers of our Lord were not as the prayers that they were praying. And they said, Lord, would you teach us to pray as John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray? And Jesus, if you look at this chronologically, he had already taught them to pray and how to pray in the Sermon on the Mount, but he repeated the lesson. He was conscious to repeat the lesson, happy to repeat the lesson. And sometimes we need to be reminded and have it repeated to us. And he gave them again the Lord's Prayer in a parable on the importunate judge. And basically in Luke chapter 11, Jesus said, you just pray until you get an answer, until God gives a clear answer. And God always answers prayer. He never speaks of unanswered prayer. And God answers every prayer with yes, no, and no is an answer. And sometimes it's wait. And God is just waiting for us to continue to pray and to show God that we're serious, to prevail and to be importunate and to plead. And if there's something that I hope after the end of this week, after hearing the missionaries over the last few weeks, that we would be mindful that our prayers for them are important. And there is a power that God moves, and we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this present world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And there is a work of missions and an increase of missions that is only comes by an increase in our prayers and our prevailing upon God upon behalf of others. That video that just played a moment ago with those missionaries in that restricted access nation. In just recent days, there was another missionary, not one that you saw, but another missionary that was preaching in a church in that nation, and people and Islamic people walked into that church, and in that man's pulpit, preaching to his people on a Sunday, they literally butchered him like an animal by limb, slowly and painfully in front of his church, cut off the hands, and then the arm at the elbow, and then the shoulder, the ankles, the knees, the legs, and they butchered him in front of his people for Jesus Christ. Man alive, we think we've done something. We can't hardly get anybody to pass out a door hanger on a Saturday morning. And look, we're not going to be persecuted. Your prayers are important. I pray that God increases our spirit. In Luke chapter 11, he taught them to pray. And in context of prayer, at the end of that, Jesus told them something more about prayer. He said, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given. That word shall, something that God has predetermined that it will be done. The promise of prayer, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him of him? You know, when I pray for God to increase us for missions, I'm asking him to increase our faith, that we not be offended, that we be faithful to the finish line like Paul and others who have gone before us in this church. I'm asking him to increase our prayer life. Nothing increases your faith like increasing your prayer life. And I'm also asking God to increase our spirit, the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, that blessed tie that binds, that when we walk into this place and there is a sweet spirit and there is a spirit of unity and there's not a spirit of envy and jealousy and animosity, because that is the spirit of man. There are different spirits in this world. There is the spirit of Antichrist. There is the spirit of man, and our spirit's an ugly spirit often, folks, is it not? There is the spirit of the world, but there is the blessed Spirit of God that indwells the people of God. And one of the things when I'm asking God to increase His for missions, I'm asking that there is an increase of the Holy Spirit. I understand that He indwells us, that He has washed and regenerated us, that there is, in one sense, that there is no more of Him that can be given to us, but there is another sense in His power, not just His presence, but there is more of His power that can be given to us, and that comes by asking in prayer. And part of that prayer means that I'm going to have to be emptied. I'm going to have to be an empty vessel if I'm going to be, I'm going to have to be emptied of self if I'm going to be filled with the Spirit, that I'm going to have to die to self if I am going to live and walk a Spirit-filled life. And to not just have one Spirit-filled life, but to have a church, to have many members that are one in the body of Christ where there are many Spirit-filled lives, filled with His power, filled with His presence. When I come to church, I want God to fill our church with His Spirit and power, to fill our hearts, and to leave us here, leave here full, and so full that when we've left, that overflowing abundance, Spurgeon used to say that we are leaky vessels, that it's just an outpouring. What God has poured into us is poured out into the lives of those around us, including our field, which is the world, our field here. That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction was but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That as we get out of bed every morning, we realize that we have to die to self, because self looks at the earthly, not at the eternal. But the Spirit of God makes us conscious and fills us and empowers us and gives us a life for that which is eternal, something which is of a far greater value, a far greater weight, exceeding eternal glory. That crucified life, that daily life that says that God, whatever your will, even if it be my life, whether by life or by death, that Christ be magnified, as Paul said. I mentioned several months ago, James Calvert, a missionary to the cannibals in the Fiji Islands. One of my closest friends was a missionary in Fiji for 15 years, Pastor Ryan Gray, who has preached our mission conference last year, and he'll be here in just a few weeks for a Sunday. And when James Calvert went to the cannibals of the Fiji Islands, the captain of the ship that was approaching the harbor pleaded with him, and the people that were with him, with James Calvert, to labor amongst the cannibals. The captain pleaded with him not to go, and he said to him, "You will lose your lives and the lives of those with you if you go among such savages." And James Calvert said this: "We died before we came here." And just as we expect our missionaries to die to self and resign themselves to the will of God, whatever that might be, whatever field they might go, anywhere in this world, whether it be in Northern Africa, Islamic Africa, or the Middle East, or Southeast Asia, or South America, or Southern Africa, wherever they go, we expect that of them, but do we expect it of ourselves in our field? Or are we just going about our lives from day to day and coming to church and having religion, thankful for salvation? Are we increasing for missions and increasing? Because there's a reason that God fills us with the Holy Spirit. You know, there used to be a day where there was a hunger and a thirst for that, and you heard preachers preach about the filling of the Holy Spirit, and Christians wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that promise that blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And today it seems like we're not hungry for that, because that hunger is for a purpose, and that filling is for a purpose, where Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And you know, I wonder if we are no longer concerned with increasing our faith and increasing our prayer life and increasing the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, because we're not interested. We're interested in other people going. but we're not interested in going ourselves. You know, one of the things I pray that God would increase us in missions is that he would increase the witness of our church. And I thank the Lord that we have faithful people that will gather tracts and take them and pass them out. And I hope that you leave with your pockets full and that you use them before they get dog-eared. And some of them are going to get dog-eared. But you know, church, we have a responsibility to the field that God has given us here. You know, this next Saturday, we're going to begin for the summer. We won't be able to go every Saturday. There's going to be certain Saturdays that there are going to be other events going on. But from March through October, unless there's something else on the church calendar, we're going to go out. And look, I wish I'd have brought one to the pulpit with me. It's just a bag with a hole in it that sticks on a doorknob. And it's the same weather that people go out and work in their flower gardens and their vegetable gardens and mow their lawns and sit on hot bleachers in the blazing sun so they can watch their kid hit a plastic ball with a plastic bat off a plastic stick. But Saturday at 9:30. And I pray that it's not where we get 40 people the first 2 weeks and then all of a sudden the rest of the church just depends on 10 people to be faithful to do something that we're glad our church does, but we have personally no interest in. I went twice this year. I went once. I did my part. No, the Christian life is a daily life. You know, I'm praying that God increases our witness because he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, but he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And if we don't increase, do you understand that there is a harvest here where we live? There are souls that are white to the harvest, and God help us if we leave it in the field. We wouldn't do that with green beans, but we'll do that with souls. And church, I'm just praying that God would increase the number and the strength of our witness. Because it makes a difference how many people are reached. And you may not ever see them through the door, but there's something that God does where he blesses and he increases in different ways. And I had two brothers in the church I was in Chicago years ago, and they were given a bus route, and they decided they didn't have anybody on this bus route. And they decided they were going to go out, and these guys, they were men that worked jobs. One was a truck, one ran a trucking business. The other was a driver for the business. These were both very financially successful men, but they'd been given a bus, and they decided they were going to go out, and they spent 8 hours on a Saturday trying to get kids to get on a bus. Not one, 8 hours, and not one person came on the bus. But while they were out, the phone rang at the church. Preacher answered the phone. There was a mother, a single mother, with I forget how many kids. It was like 10 or 12 kids that said, is there somebody that can come pick us up for church on Sunday? They were out. You know, if they'd have knocked on that door, there's just part of our human nature that would give us the glory because we went and we did something. But God blessed their efforts in another way. God gave an increase, not through their means, but through God's means, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And members of that family, over 20 years later, are still attending that church. And I'm just here to challenge us, church. We need our people to go get into our mission field. We need our deacons. We need our Sunday school teachers. We need our choir members. We need people that just sit in a pew to get up out of a pew and come and take an hour of your life and hang a bag on a door that leaves a gospel witness. And if you happen to come across somebody, all we do is hand it to them and say, hey, we're just out handing out an invitation to come visit our church. We hope you'll come see us if you don't have a good church home. That's it. If God gives you an open door to witness and you have the boldness and the knowledge and the ability, but we're not, just to go out and sow the seed, because the seed is the word of God and the field is the world. And God help us if we expect our missionaries to go over there and into other places of the world, and we want to see a field that has been tilled and planted and watered, and we don't want to see tares. And then our field is overgrown with weeds, and the weeds will overgrow it. America, we spend a lot of time griping about what's wrong with our country and not near any time sowing the seed. Because if you sow, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth bearing his his sheep shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. God promises that there will be some increase, and there's no increase if we don't go. But see, it takes compassion. There, that soul in tears, something that we love, our God that we love, and the gospel that we love, and our Savior that we love, in our tears, because we see the need. That this isn't just the town we live in. These aren't just doors on the street. But it would be an increase of our witness. An increase of our love. You know, part of a church that has a heart for missions. It's not just having a heart for the world. You know, somebody once said, I have no trouble loving the world. That's my neighbor next door that I struggle with. Church, you're going to have to increase your love. You know, it's easy to see faces in a foreign country and walking through the markets and handing out those. But why don't you do that in the city park? Where's our love? What is the proof of our love? The proof of the sincerity I love. Philippians 1:9, this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. That's one of the things I pray for missions. Our increase of our missions is an increase of our love for our God, for each other, for the lost. In 1 Thessalonians 3:12, that the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do towards you. I could go to 1 John chapter 3, where it tells, behold what manner of love that the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And then it goes on to talk about if we love our God whom we've not seen, it is evidenced by the fact of our towards our brother whom we have seen. We can't love a God we have not seen without proving it by loving our brother who we do see. You know, our theme this year has been, for God so loved the world. And one of the prayers that I have prayed is I have prayed that the love that God has for this world, that he would give me that love. And I cannot love this world as much as God loves it. I don't think it's possible. But I can learn to love this world with the same love that God has. And God promised that he could put the love of the Father can be in the hearts of his children. And I don't want to be like the church at Ephesus, that we're checking off all the boxes, and on the outside, we're doing everything we ought to be doing, but we have left our first love. That is our love for that, for the lost. And let me say this finally. All this comes to this, increasing our emissions. Increasing emissions is simply this. It is an increase of Christ himself. John the Baptist, the greatest man born of a woman, said this. He said, he must increase, but I must decrease. You know what I pray? If we're really going to increase in missions, more of Christ, less of us. To say like Paul, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, that our happiness is not the result of what we have, but who we have and how we live for him. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would increase us for missions this year. That you would increase us with a faith that when tested will not be offended. That you will increase the faithfulness and the fervency of our prayers. That you will increase, Lord, with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. That you would increase us, Lord, that you would give us a host of witnesses. Lord, that you would increase our love. And Father, above all, that Christ would increase in his church and be glorified in its midst. Bless now this invitation in Jesus' name. Let's stand. The piano's playing. The altar's open tonight. Where does missions need to increase in your life? Do you need to give more to faith? More to prayer, more love, more witness. To make a determination in your heart, your mind. To take responsibility for your place in this world and the field that God has given us. To not leave our field full of weeds and tares. We care for the harvest of the Lord with a greater care than any flower that sits on our porch, than any vegetable garden that sits in our backyard, than anything that holds and occupies space in our lives.